good day to be indigenous. Get up,
stand up. They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, he need cut again.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade, which means distant thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news on Native Roots Radio. And as you know, Chuzhank, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
Yes, you are right, Dega. And this portion of the show is supported by Native Roots Radio Network on Patreon. Thank you, Pinagigi, to all who help keep our show on 5 days a week.
Hey, yeah, good call. Hey, I just want to say happy Billy Mills Day in California. Today is Billy Mills Day, May 6th in California. And I don't know if, do you know the story of Billy Mills?
No, is that the ShamWow guy?
ShamWow, that's something that like you pick up like water really easy?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Is that not the same guy?
Oh my God.
I don't know who that is.
I wish you were in the same studio right now. No, Billy Mills won the gold medal, and he was a long distance runner. And if you ever watch the race, Haley, write this down. You have to watch the race, the 66 Olympics. Mm-hmm. He came from nowhere, basically nowhere, and ended up winning the race. It's an unbelievable video scene that you could watch on YouTube, that he was way, way, way behind. And all of a sudden, it seemed like he just turned into afterburners out of nowhere in the last 300 yards or however they could talk meters. He ended up winning the race and winning a gold medal. And so he's been a Native American hero of ours ever since.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, and I was at the Capitol today for On the Hill, a Native American day at the Hill on here in St. Paul, and a lot of festivities, a lot of things going on. Great to see the governor speak, and the Secretary of State and State Senator Mary Kunish spoke too. And
it was
a good time. And it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. Today is Monday, and we usually have our friend Dr. Stately of Native American Community Clinic on, and I do see he's on, and he's got a shirt that I do not have. Welcome, Dr. Stately.
Anybody can buy this shirt online.
My birthday is coming up in a week.
Good one.
It's a Hartberry shirt. That's, yes. What's the name? Yeah.
So. Yes, it's my birthday coming up, so I'm
happy birthday, early birthday.
Well, yeah, I'm registered at all the fine stores, Amazon and all that, so hit me up.
Really, all the fine stores, Amazon, right? Okay.
Fine stores.
I'll probably order you something from Timu.
Oh, touche. Did I ask you about them?
No,
did I ask you about them?
One time about Timu?
Well, we've gotten some jean jackets from
my kids. Are always like, my kids are always like, you're gonna order something off Timu, it's only $5. I'm like, yeah, it'll last for like the minute that you take it out of the box, and that's it.
Yeah, I was thinking about getting some cowboy hats and having Haley beat them up, and it was just like, oh, I'm sure these are little felt. None of them were big. They were all small size. And, well, I guess we're not going to have them as an advertiser. But I was surprised.
Like little heads for little tiny people. Little people.
Yeah. Like are my grandkids that are coming.
Oh, yeah. Those grandkids. Just have Herbie. How many little hats did you get? Like 30?
No, I don't think Haley can bead that.
I can't beat at all.
Oh,
Knack has a beading class that you can join anytime.
I think it's during the show. Like everything that you do great is during our show.
I kind of planned it that way.
Yeah,
we know.
We do know, because we want to get sacred over there at Native American Community Clinic, and it's like doors locked, people won't let us in. Oh, Dr. Staley, I can see you.
Holy the doors mackerel. Close at 5.
Yeah,
because you know, it's never mind. We're not going to get into that anyway.
And let's talk a little bit in the beginning here of what's happening with Native American Community Clinic. I don't think we've talked about that lately. There's exciting things happening that I was witness to just recently. Maybe we can talk a little bit about that and how maybe people can
support. Oh, yeah. You went to our event last Thursday. I forgot about that. Yeah. No, I mean, I just forgot. Not forget that you came. I forgot that. You know,
I was the funny one there. I was telling jokes.
I don't remember that part.
Yeah. Shoot.
Yeah. No, that was a really lovely event. You know, it was like, in some ways, like it didn't turn. It wasn't turning out the way that I had imagined it and planned it to be. Right. And so there was a beginning where I was just a little frustrated. And then I was like, you know what? Creator knows what he's doing or she's doing. We're just going to have a conversation. Let's start with a prayer, which is what we did, a song and a prayer. And then the rest of the evening was just fine. It was great. Mm-hmm.
So. Yeah. I was always, when I used to sell Amway, I was always told, just worry about the people that are there, not the people that aren't there. And that's a thing about selling detergent for a billionaire, laundry detergent for a billionaire. That's what I learned.
Oh, my God. My mother got into Shaklee,
which is like
the poor man's version of Amway. And then she got into Amway, and then it's like, you know, and then remember a couple of years ago, HBO came out with that, limited series, show that starred, what's her face? Gosh, I can't remember her name. Anyway, it was about a lady living in Florida who got sucked into the Amway, you know, grind, you know, those pyramid organizations. And she's like, it was a really, really good show, but it reminded me of like when I was a kid and then my mom would like
sell those
soap. Things at people's houses, right?
Put on the
and
plan.
I can't, like, yeah, and I can't, I don't think I ever told you this or any listeners this, but this truth telling now here. I was a Tupperware lady. My first year of college. Yeah, because I moved out of my mom's house when I was 16. I went to college, McAllister College, and then I needed like stuff in my house. So then I was like, if I become a Tupperware lady, then I get all the Tupperware, and I get it for free, which was a great deal, right? Well, it turns out like you have to bring the Tupperware with you that they give you to the parties, right?
Right.
And you know, and I was always showing up with like, you know, like I would take the food with me, but I would be like, oh, I'm sorry, I'd really love to show you that set of bowls, but they're in my fridge.
Yeah. They got last night's macaroni and cheese in there. Right? Who else can we talk about that we can't have as a advertiser now? Let's see, we got Shaklee, Amway, who else?
You have Tupperware, yeah.
Yeah, Shaklee, Tupperware,
Amway, Temu.
Yeah, shoot. Well, that's
you know who you could have as an advertiser who sells amazing things is Woodland Indian Crafts, who is now in the new Indian Center and has brand new. Well, he has brand new walls, but he has the same cabinetry that he had in his old store.
Wow, we can talk a little bit about that because we love Charlie and we love going head to head with him.
Indian Center, it was amazing. That was amazing.
Well, let's take a break here, Dr. Staley, and first we can talk about the Indian Center and also who else will not advertise on Native Roots Radio. Ho-wah. We'll be right back after this short break.
Stay with us.
Oh. If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by, stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Some people won't give you the real talk on drugs, but it's time we know the facts. Fentanyl is often laced into illicit drugs and used to make fake versions of prescription pills. You can't see it, taste it, or smell it. Suppliers mix fentanyl into their products because it's potent and cheap, and the dealer might not even know. Keep yourself and others safe by knowing the real deal on fentanyl. Get the facts. Go to realdealonfentanyl.com. This message is brought to you by the Ad Council.
As we gear up for American Indian Celebration Month in May, it's crucial to prioritize our health, especially with celebrations on the horizon. If you start feeling off, like a fever, a tickle in the throat, or heavy fatigue, don't ignore it. Take an at-home COVID-19 test right away. And remember, if you're not feeling well, it's okay to stay home. Your health comes first. A quick note on COVID testing. The Minnesota Department of Health's free COVID-19 at-home testing program has ended. But don't worry. If you're uninsured, you can still find no-cost tests using the CDC's COVID-19 testing locator. If you have health insurance, you might be eligible for free tests or reimbursement for testing expenses. Just ask your local pharmacy or health insurance provider for more information. Stay informed. Stay protected. Let's prioritize our health this American Indian Celebration Month in May and ensure our communities and elders remain safe and healthy. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health. Visit health.state.mn.us.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, and we're talking about a lot of fun things here and how to sync Native Roots Radio with lack of advertising and things like that. No, just kidding. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, kind of reminiscing about our days. I was selling years ago a thing called Noni Juice, Dr. Stately. And, oh, that drink sounds delicious, by the way.
It's water. Mini Wachoni, water is life.
There you go.
And
somebody put that on a t-shirt.
That stuff literally lowered my cholesterol and numbers and everything. I just took a shot of it every night. And, it was.
What was it called?
It was Noni juice from the Noni plant from Noni, Minnesota, I think. I don't know, maybe.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I am serious. It was funny. Didn't do
I
that.
I was like, I know that like a few years ago, like one of my friends, her dad was selling goji juice. You know what that is?
No.
Like the goji berries. Yeah, it was like a legit thing, but I was like, every time I'd see her, she'd be like, "Oh my god, you should have some of this goji juice." And I just remember being like, "Is that even a thing?"
Yeah.
Well, I felt so bad because I thought she was just pulling it out of thin air, but it turned out to be a real thing, and actually, it does have some healing properties. But yes, I never benefited from it because I was a non-believer, so right. I'm sure that took a few years off my life.
Well, but the thing I'm, about...
But I'm okay with it now.
The thing with pyramid schemes is it is a pyramid, and that person on the top makes all the do-re-mi, and the people on the bottom are hoping to be someday rich. And that's the dream and the sad thing
they
about...
They don't get no dough, they don't get no re, and they don't get no me. They get pretty much nothing, actually. It's like the modern system of slavery is what it is.
Ouch.
Well, it shows, I mean, it shows up in all kinds of other ways, right? It's like, think about, like, you know, I mean, I don't, are you negotiating a robust advertising contract with Walmart? I mean, because I'm about to torpedo them as well.
Well, those people are the devil. Go ahead. I mean, I guess you have to start with allegedly.
Well, they pay you just enough money to be only to buy groceries at their store.
Mm-hmm. Right. And
I mean, you know, here's the thing is like in, I mean, I don't know.
Allegedly.
I'll probably piss some Indians off by saying this, but you know, in smaller towns, that smaller communities that have casinos and all of their relatives work at casinos, but then spend all their money there at the casino, that's kind of like the same thing. Mm-hmm. So just like one of the things we have to do across our communities in Indian country is begin to think through, like, how do we give life-sustaining opportunities and life-giving and life-sustaining economic opportunities, educational opportunities. Do you know that Red Lake is opening up a new tribal college in Minneapolis? They've already had one. It was operating at the Minobee building for the last year or so down here in Minneapolis, but they're opening up their new college in a couple weeks here, the beginning of June, I think, is their grand opening for the Minneapolis campus. And mm-hmm. it's pretty awesome, some of the things that they're doing, right? They're like that you have to take a language, you have to get a Ojibwe language credit, you have to get healthy eating and physical activity credit to graduate. I mean, they're like purposefully within their curriculum, they're embedding in things that are like addressing health inequities and those kinds of things and other important parts of sustaining our cultural life ways and their program. So it's pretty cool. Well, but those are the things we need to do.
I like that, because some colleges that may be Christian, you have to minor in religion. So why not? That's a great idea.
Yeah.
So yeah. One of the things
I was talking to them today, and I said, like, do you guys have a hockey team? And they're like, no. It'd be cool if we could have one. I said, well, I have two great, really hockey players that can help you start that program.
Right on. Mm-hmm. And I think you could coach too, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know if I can do that, but you know, that's really right on the line, actually. You're overestimating my abundance and my information and knowledge about hockey.
Well, you're
recently, after 11 years, figured out what offsides was.
Okay. Well,
that's a start.
Yeah, that's a start. And those blue lines mean something, right?
It does. Yeah. It means something. The red line means something too.
Right. Yeah.
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 But yes, so like we were talking before we went on break about all the really cool stuff that happened last week with the kickoff of American Indian Month.
Right.
Like here in Minneapolis in the Twin Cities. And you know, one of the things that I just like was really wonderful about the whole thing was like I had so much emotional overwhelmness at that event, mostly because it could have been because of the long line to get food. And so I was hungry, and so I was a little emotional, but no, I'm just kidding. But and actually this sweet young lady brought me an Indian taco. I was just sitting down, she brought me an Indian taco, and she was like, here. I said, what are you doing? And she goes, what was it? We're giving the elders a plate. And I was like, and I kind of looked at her, like gave her like a mean little look, like,
yeah,
what do you mean, like, elder?
Right. Yeah. I may be an elder, but I look young. What's up?
but anyway, it was like a really wonderful, the reason I was feeling emotional was because, you know, I saw people there that I hadn't seen in years, decades, people I'd gone to school with, high school with, people that I hadn't, like cousins and relatives I hadn't seen in a really long time. There were so many people there. And then, I was walking down to the gymnasium to when they were starting some of the performances, and they have a dedication plaque on the wall, the Francis Fairbanks gymnasium,
yes,
honoring my auntie Franny, who was the Wow. For a really long time. I don't know how she was there for a long time. I think probably 18 years or something like that. Went to the wall of the founders and saw some, you know, people that I had worked at the Indian Center when I was young, when I was in my my late teens and early 20s. I was the editor of the Circle newspaper, so I worked in that, you know, that what? That scary basement for like a couple of years.
Did I know that?
I don't think you did. Maybe I think I might have mentioned it before, but yes. So I was there for a few years before, and was right before I moved to Los Angeles. And it's also where, you know, my mom was on the board of directors for the majority of my young adulthood into my adulthood for like, I think 15 years, 18 years, maybe. So it just was like, I was filled with so much emotion because I was remembering what it meant to me as a young child to be there on the day it opened in 1975. I was 12, I think, maybe almost 13, 12 years old. And then how it felt to be there in that space. And then it's all brand new. It looks beautiful. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. And they kept just enough of the old space so that you could recognize some really critical parts, right? Like the gymnasium. They brought the murals from the outside in the inside. They saved those murals, which were just, it was just, I felt like, oh my gosh, this is a new day. A new day has dawned in here for us on the American Indian Culture Corridor. And I was so privileged to be there.
Yeah. That was an amazing day. And I know we've talked about it since, but it's great revisiting that with you. The weather was perfect.
It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And, so many people. The parade was awesome. You know what was really amazing about that day? There was thousands of Indians on Franklin Avenue blocking Franklin and Bloomington to get into the Indian Center. Like traffic stopped on all directions and we weren't protesting a thing.
You know, that's a really interesting point. I thought, my goodness, I've been in bigger parades over the years. And then I realized a lot of people, once we got close to the Indian Center, were there waiting for the grand opening of the Indian Center. And it quadrupled, literally, I think it was triple the amount of people once we got to the Indian Center. There was a good 3,000 people there. And I know a lot of people underestimate it, but there was, I always like to look at groups and clump them into 100 and kind of count them. And there was close to 3,000 people there. I was in shock when we got
easily. Yeah. So I was really lucky to get a taco, actually.
Yeah, we didn't. I had to go down to Native American Community Development Institute and have a slice of pizza. That's how I roll. Right. Hey, we're here with Dr. Stately, and we're talking about my birthday and some tragedy that's happening in my life, and who will never advertise on our show. So it's a good deal, and it's a good day to be Indigenous. We'll be right back after this short break. Native Roots Radio.
Doherty Family College at the University of St. Thomas is your pathway to a bachelor's degree. Located in downtown Minneapolis, Doherty Family College offers an affordable education that includes free textbooks, a laptop, meals, career coaches, and a Metro Transit pass. As a full-time Doherty Family College student, you'll benefit from mentorship from St. Thomas faculty, along with paid internships and support from Minnesota's largest private college. Ready to turn your dreams into reality? Apply now at dfc.stthomas.edu. Doherty Family College, your journey to success starts here.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States.
And 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected.
Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf.
Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy.
As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired.
Learn more at howlingforwolves.org.
Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
This message is brought to you by Strong Hearts Native Helpline. Did you know that there is a free, culturally appropriate helpline for Native Americans and Alaska Natives affected by domestic or sexual violence? If you're hurting in your relationship and want to talk, advocates are available 24/7. Call or text 1-844-762-8483, that's 1-844-7-NATIVE, or chat online at strongheartshelpline.org. Safe, anonymous, confidential. Strong Hearts Native Helpline.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
So when you get to the corner of Smith and Orchard, you're going to want to take a
you
left.
You are not going to
then
believe
this. Then what you're going to do is turn
Marcy
into Marcy
and Brad
Avenue
just broke up,
and go past
and
the
apparently
first three
she's
lights,
happy about
and then
it.
Take the next left.
I don't really think she's happy, but
you should be
who
there.
Am I to judge, right?
Park
anyway,
on the right.
That's
I'll
what I heard last
tonight.
Night.
It's hard to concentrate on two things at once, like texting and driving. Stop the text. Stop the wrecks. How will you stop texting and driving? Tell us at stoptextstoprex.org. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Peace of mind shouldn't cost a fortune. We keep things simple at Schroman Law because we believe planning for your estate and end-of-life care shouldn't be stressful or expensive. Every client relationship starts with a free consultation so clients have the information they need before making important decisions. From there, we work closely with clients to ensure they are choosing the most efficient and cost-effective plans for their specific needs. Schedule a free consultation today at schromanlaw.com. That's schromenlaw.com.
With a look at your AM 950 weather, I'm Patrick Lilia. Showers and thunderstorms tonight with a low of 56. Then Tuesday, more showers and storms likely with a high of 69. Vinaigrette can add the perfect complement to your next home-cooked meal. Taste test their wide selection of oils and vinegars and they'll bottle it for you right on the spot. Vinaigrette is located at 50th and Xerxes in South Minneapolis. Check them out at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hi, this is Representative Charisse Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Haley?
Hello?
What's this portion by Haley? Haley's become a ventriloquist, and it's not working.
Maybe we lost our sponsor just in that short period of time.
Yeah, they pulled the plug. Thanks, Dr. Stately. Shoot. Well, we were having our own little conversation on our with these cell phones that are so awesome in 2024. Maybe we can get iPhone or somebody to advertise. You know, we were talking about Charlie's has his store in the Native American Indian Center in Minneapolis on Franklin, the reopening $34 million put on there. And how long has Charlie had the store, Dr. Stately?
I think I texted him because I wasn't sure. I was like, it's either 44 or 45, but he just entered his 45th year on April 28th.
Whoa.
So, I think he took ownership of the store on April 28th of 1979.
Wow.
And yeah, and that's pretty remarkable. You know, he got that store. He worked for what was it called before then? It was called I don't remember, but the guy that owned it was a friend of the family's, and he worked in his store for a couple of years. He was actually at, Charlie had gotten a very nice college scholarship to the College of Art and Design at Minnesota Institute of Arts out of high school. And he is an amazing artist. But when I was young, he was this amazing illustrator. I think he still does illustrations and he still does drawings and things like that. But he was fascinated with Conan the Barbarian, like those graphic novels.
Yeah.
And he would he'd take that thing and he'd redo it like himself. He'd make these amazing drawings. But he went to art and design. And I think he probably could have had, who knows if he had stayed there, what would have happened and what could have happened. Those are things we just don't know. Only creator knows. But I think he was working there when he was in college to sort of kind of support himself, the college student. And then the guys wanted to sell the shop, and Charlie asked to buy it. And my mom put a second mortgage on her house and
real
money to help him support him starting his business. And yeah, he was a young guy. He was like, I think 19 at the time, maybe. I don't know, something like that.
Wow.
Well, I saw an article. I saw an article come up like roughly 1982, and it had a whole article about him, and that he was a beater too. That he did a lot of beating.
He was an amazing beater. Yeah.
Yeah.
When Prince Charles and Lady Diana Spencer got married,
1980,
big thing in the 1980s. They walked into his shop, and he.
What?
That was invited to their wedding. He walked into his shop and he commissioned Charlie to make him a wedding present for their wedding.
Yeah. I never saw that in the Crown.
He beaded this amazing appliqued replica of the Buckingham Palace, the things in it, and it had Lady Diana Spencer and King Charles or Prince Charles and the dates of their wedding on it. And I think it's still in Buckingham Palace to this day.
So, well, I never saw
well,
that.
Well, maybe it's not. Maybe the new wife got rid of it by now, but no.
I never saw that in The Crown, but that would have been, the show Crown.
Right. I watched every single episode of The Crown, never saw it. I think once they got divorced, maybe the new one got rid of it. So, yeah, possible.
Yeah. No, that's really, really interesting. Geez, maybe one Monday we can get you to interview Charlie when you do my show.
That would be great.
I had no idea. No idea those three things that you just said.
Yeah.
He's my big brother, and I've always been in awe of him. But one of the things I've never really talked to him a whole lot about? I've never really talked to him a whole lot about like this. I've seen it and I watched it from a distance, right?
Sure.
So it's like, and he opened that store, or he took ownership of it and renamed it Woodland Indian Crafts in 1979, and that was the year I graduated from high school.
Me
and
too.
Then I moved to California like 3 or 4 years later. So for the major portion of my adult life, the time that he owned that store, I wasn't living here in Minnesota. I was living in California and on the West Coast. So I'm sure he has some really interesting stories. He's produced some really amazing artists of his own. His progeny, my niece Nichez, is an amazing indigenous artist. She makes murals and mosaics and does really amazing stuff. She's the one that designed the teepee mosaic in Little Earth, and she did that with the youth.
Wow. Living history.
He got all the artistic skills in the family. Like, I can draw a stickman and that's it, but he got art talent, I got brains. So yeah, I'm just kidding.
Well, I always thought you were the oldest, Dr. Stately. Charlie is one of the nicest people.
Charlie is so nice.
And then I met one of your other younger brothers just recently too.
He is not my younger brother. And you know this, I'm going to kick your butt.
Oh, Wow.
You want to lose more advertisers? You want to lose more than just advertisers? Keep going. Yeah. Keep going.
Oh, what? Where's HR right now for our radio show? Haley, are you HR? I can't remember.
Oh, I hope not. I don't think I've met your other brother.
I'm HR. It stands for Hurt Robert.
Oh, what? Wait, where's the applause button? That was a good one. That one in a row, Dr. Stately.
There you go. Yeah. No, I mean, I love my family. I think they're just amazing. They're amazing people. I hit the jackpot when I pulled the string to go down that chute and come out in that family.
Yeah. And it sounds like it, you know, in all seriousness, we can maybe, when I'm out of town, sometime is do a couple days of, your family, because the history on Avenue with your mom and your brother and yourself, maybe, I don't know what your other brother does. Maybe we could.
My other brother, Rob, he has a distinguished little life too. He's right now, he works for Bakayagan. So he's the head chef for Bakayagan and Anishinaabe Biwen. He does all their meal prep, but for years he was like, the first Famous Dave's restaurant in Le Coup d'Oreille.
No. What?
and he was Dave Anderson's head master smoker, barbecue and smoker. He won all kinds of awards all over.
Wow.
Well, that's not piss off Famous Dave. We haven't approached them yet. No, I'm just kidding.
He doesn't own it anymore, so I'm sure he'd be okay with that. He now owns, what is it called? I forget what it's called.
There's a restaurant.
Southern Barbecue. Southern Barbecue. Yeah, it's good. Silver Union Diner.
Wow. Wow, 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 wow. And Famous Dave, too. That's an interesting story in itself. Wow.
Yeah. They're all like self-made Indians, you know, me too, I suppose. I'm self-made and, but I got a little bit of help from the government. I'm still paying back those student loans. I'll be paying them back till the day I die probably, but that's okay. Like, you know, they owe me that money really, quite frankly. So.
Exactly. I'm with you on that. Mm-hmm. I still have a school loan that I'm paying off and, you know, I don't know. I can will that to my kids when I die, right?
Yeah, you guys are paying those off. I don't know.
Oh, wow. Haley's not paying hers off. She's just like whistling.
No, thank you.
Well, I think I might qualify right now. Like, I just had a friend of mine that said, like, I saw a Facebook poster, like, I made my last payment on my student loans. They paid them off. She did 10 years of public service. I was like, I've done 20 or 25 years of public service. I've pretty much done nothing but work in public service and in Indian health programs since I got out of graduate school. So I should be eligible. I'm going to look into it. Because I'm not sure how this happened, but I actually owe more money than I borrowed.
Oh. Well, it's all the interest rate, and I think that's one of the biggest problems that we all in seriousness have been talking about, this these loans. And you know, I had friends, graduate from college with a business degree and they're working at banks for $12 an hour. And you could go to a trade school and make $45 an hour after 6 months of training. So, I mean, I was really,
when
I was a teacher, I was advocating a lot of trade school for people.
Yeah. And this is a good time to reminder of all of our listeners that at least the ones that live in the Twin Cities or in Minnesota that Red Lake College is reopening. It's having a grand opening and a grand reopening in Minneapolis on June 6th. And they're amazing. They're doing some really amazing work. But you know what's really amazing about that is like it is a really easy process to get into that 2-year college. So if you're having a challenge getting into like a 4-year college, or you're waiting to hear back from all of the really competitive colleges. Maybe you had a difficult time in high school. I'm thinking about sending my kids there because they had a really challenging high school period. Mm-hmm. But the thing is that what it's going to do is they're graduating a 77-year-old woman this year.
Yeah,
a grandma went back and got her AA. she went to college and she just wanted to show her grandkids that it's possible.
At the Capitol today, there was somebody that worked, I believe, for the St. Paul. What is the St. Paul place called again? The Indian Center in St. Paul?
The American Indian Family Center?
Yes, thank you. And she was 80 and just got her degree.
Wow. That's amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's
amazing. And she got a blanket.
Yeah.
I was always want one of those blankets, but she deserved it. Well, yeah. Dr. Stately, I don't know if you can hold on for another segment, but this is some riveting radio that we're doing today, and I appreciate you being on, and it's always fun, and we'll do another segment then.
Yeah, I'm going to howl when I get back.
Yeah.
Perfect. Hey, this is Native Roots Radio, and we got Dr. Stately and Haley Cherry, and Haley is one of the great producers I've had over the years at the Indian Center. I got to take a picture of two other past producers along with Haley, and it was really great to have that reunion with Native Roots Radio. So you're keeping up and doing a great job, Haley. I wanted to just say that on air. My fingers aren't crossed. I just wanted to let you know that.
Okay, I'll believe you. I'll not.
All right, we'll be right back. This is Native Roots Radio.
The city of Minneapolis is now on Native Roots Radio with Minneapolis AIR. AIR stands for American Indian Relations. Guest host Christine McDonald talks to people about important things affecting the city's Native communities. Minneapolis AIR dives into topics like public safety, public health, elections, and so much more. Tune in to Minneapolis AIR on Native Roots Radio from 5 to 6 p.m. on the second Wednesday of every month, right here on AM 950. Attention, Native American community. As we prepare for American Indian Celebration Month in Minnesota this May, it's essential to prioritize the health and safety of our communities. With social gatherings and festivities on the horizon, getting vaccinated against COVID-19 is crucial. So let's make getting vaccinated a tradition, inclusive and cross-generational. Imagine gatherings filled with shared stories and cultural celebrations free from the shadow of COVID-19. Remember, protecting yourself and others is what counts. Whether it's time for an updated vaccine or your first shot, all COVID-19 vaccines offer protection, with the latest vaccine especially recommended for our elders over 65. As we gather with friends and relatives this May for American Indian Celebration Month, let's ensure everyone's safety by getting vaccinated. Together, we can uphold our traditions and keep our communities thriving. For more information, including details about clinics offering free vaccines, visit vaccines.gov. This message is brought to you in partnership with the Minnesota Department of Health.
This message is brought to you by Strong Hearts Native Helpline. If you are experiencing domestic or sexual violence, Strong Hearts advocates provide culturally appropriate support and advocacy for Native Americans and Alaska Natives. Free, confidential, anonymous, 24/7. Strong Hearts advocates are Native American and take a Native-centered approach to every contact. Call or text 1-844-762-8483. That's 1-844-7-NATIVE. Or chat online at strongheartshelpline.org.
You're listening to Native Roots Radio. This is Spirit from Reservation Dogs. Get up and listen.
Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Native American Community Clinic and Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Ow!
Ow!
Wow, Haley, you kind of threw me off there. I thought, well, isn't this the wolf one here? And then you had the, wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I tried to add them both because I got unplugged in the last segment. For that
record. Oh, good one. Hey, also too, I got a quick question. What is the tagline for Native American Community Clinic?
Honoring health and tradition.
Oh, that's a great that's a great tagline. I think we came up with that. Is that right, Dr. Stately? No. I'm kidding. I'm kidding. I think it's on the postcard.
I'm trying to remember where it came from. I think
No, I'm kidding. I think we got that from some, didn't we, Haley?
Mm-hmm.
So the website.
Oh, yeah. So we didn't make it up again, you know, vaccinated. And what's the new one now for the, what's the new one, Haley, that's vaccinated we stole? And then what's the other one coming up with the Four Sisters?
I'm not sure.
Okay. Haley doesn't listen to the show either. All right. Neither do I, but
she's busy producing. So right.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Staley.
It's a hard job, Robert. Keeping you in line is a hard job.
Exactly.
Whenever ask Wendy, she's exhausted. She can't even show up regularly either.
Wendy,
this
Wendy.
Is a fun one today.
We'll put some tobacco out for Wendy for sure.
Well, yeah. you know, after just a few hours with you, like one needs to rest.
Little nappy.
Yes, I think Dr. Staley still butthurt about the age thing. I mistakenly thought that he was the older, more mature one.
I like to tell my brother, like if I dyed my hair, I could look like I'm not 60 something too. So.
Yeah. Giving him away.
he called me like a week ago or so on FaceTime, and I answered, and I was like, hey, what's up? And he's like, hey, he goes, check this out. He goes, I'm just doing this to make you feel better. And I said, what? And he goes, take a look. And he showed me his beard. He's growing his beard out. It's all gray. He looked like an old Wookiee, like, you know, Chewbacca, what he should look like now. Much like yours, actually.
Well, I used to dye my goatee, and if you do that the first few days, and this will age me, Haley, and Dr. Staley, I looked like Groucho Marx, and it drove Wendy crazy. So she was like, no more dyeing your goatee. So I have a white
beard. You have a cigar too?
No, but I said some quirky
things. Did you have a cigar and walk weird like he did? Yeah, like that up. Little. Yeah. Oh, that was Charlie Chan. I mean, it was him interpreting Charlie Chan.
Yeah, I said to her, hey, I was wrong. I was wrong once, but I was mistaken. Oh.
Yeah.
Oh.
Anyway, we're talking about a bunch of nonsensical stuff right now. And I think one of the things I just wanted to say this because I thought about it in the second episode and I was like thinking, oh my gosh, this is really cool. So, like, I think sometimes, you know, I love talking about the stuff that we were talking about earlier around American and Center reopening and all these really amazing things that are happening. And I did. Oh, you were there actually. I think when I was talking to the WCCO news reporter.
Yeah, I took a
picture. Did you show up like when I was finishing that up?
Yeah, I took a picture and you said, thank you so much. I've always wanted to be on TV and I'm Dr. Staley, by the way. Something like that. Right?
I didn't say that to him actually. So he asked me my name. I gave him my regular given name, not the doctor part. But I said to him, I feel like this kind of like a second renaissance. I remember feeling as a young child, this sort of like, you know, just this feeling of like abundance, pregnant with hope and abundance. That's kind of what the moment felt like. It was just like really, and I think we spent a lot of time I certainly spent a lot of time in my work, because I deliver healthcare services, and when I'm talking with people like, you know, the commissioner of health and the, you know, the, all the people who have access to the resources that I need to be able to help my community, I'm always like, you know, talking about like, you know, all of the things, all the houses, the level of houselessness, the people who are living with, you know, opiate disorder and all the things that we're challenged by in our community. And I don't think we spend enough time talking about the beauty and the amazing things that we are, and the beauty and the resilience and the brilliance that we have and what we possess. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, man, you know, we're like that Bobo. You know, did you ever have one of these when you were a kid? That clown, you know, you punch the clown and it gets back up.
Yeah.
That's what an Indian is. Knock us down, we just get back up.
Good one.
I get knocked down and I get up again.
Yeah, that guy too. I don't know who those people are, but yeah, that was a good song.
That one song, yeah. No, I agree. And, you know, like you said, seeing all these different people that, you know, we're still here and people are living a good life. And, but knowing that how important and how many different things for people that Indian Center was and is for people really drew a lot of people, I'm sure, for that celebration.
Yeah. Yeah, it was just like, I remember having as a kid, 12, 13 years old, when the Indian Center opened up, I was a kid. We were living on 31st and Minnehaha. I could ride my bike or walk or even take the number 7 bus, go all the way down to the Indian Center, like, you know, pretty much on my own, you know, and I didn't have to worry about a whole lot of things. I didn't have to worry about, you know, somebody kidnapping me or killing me or, you know, doing anything, any of these other things to me. And we would all go as a group of kids. We'd all, like, you know, ride our bikes and run or walk down there. And we'd spend the day at the Indian Center, jumping on a trampoline, playing basketball, you know, doing all kinds of things. We'd go down the street all the way to Chicago and Franklin, which used to be the old Native American Youth Services Center, NAES, we used to call it. Hmm. And, you know, we'd play pool and we'd go on activities. You know, it's where, you know, we'd go horseback riding and all those other kinds of things. But we had a community that was, you know, and there was just all these things to do. And we mm-hmm. still have that community. You know, we have some challenges in before us that we have to solve to make it the type of place where kids can feel unfettered and safe and able to sort of enjoy those things that we enjoyed when I was a child. But I think those things are solvable, and I think mm-hmm. we'll solve them hopefully over the next few years.
Well, I think with your work and what's happening on the Avenue and other people's work across the Twin Cities especially, but all Turtle Island, will bring that back. I know talking to my uncles, like my Uncle Curtis, it's so funny. He was... you know, and they were in all these softball leagues that they knew all these Indians. And I don't know if he worked much, but I know he played a lot of softball for, you know, in his 20s and 30s. and then also basketball too. There's a lot of great stories from my family with traveling and all those.
Yeah. My brothers were ballers. They played for the Indian Center's basketball team most of their life. For the Minneapolis Warriors. And I couldn't play basketball to save my life. I just, you know, I still can't dribble a ball and chew gum at the same time. But I was a pretty amazing softball player, actually. I was the top batter for my team when I was a softball player.
And me too.
Yeah.
We'll have to get a league going.
Wow.
Let's do it.
Yeah, I'd rather do kickball.
Robert.
I'm scared, Robert.
Yes, I have that quad tendon problem that I don't want to revisit ever again. Hey, Dr. Stately, thanks for coming on and chewing the fat with us, some sacred fat.
Sacred fat. That sure was. Better than buffalo. Ooh, oh, wait, there's no fat on buffalo.
Yeah, or bison. That. Hey, we'll be here all week. Hey, we're still here. We are the 7th generation.
And free Leonard Peltier. Now.
Native Roots Radio signing off.